Sakura Show. Welcome back to The Soft Spot. If this isn't the first time that you are listening, and if it is your first time, write us and let us know how you found our show. Isn't that so annoying when you go to like stores and they're like, they just hammer you with like, how did you hear about us?
We need to know. Did you hear about us?
I want to be like, some people were talking shit.
I don't care about how you heard about us. I just care that you're here right now.
I know.
That's really all I care about.
We know how you got here, and it's because the universe guided you here. It doesn't matter how. It works in mysterious ways.
We were the voice you needed to hear. You manifested us.
Mm-hmm. And then here you are, and you're driving, and pay attention to the road, please.
Pay attention to the road. Don't text.
We saw an accident this morning.
We did. We saw just two total dumb shits. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah.
It was like, eat, stop, go.
Basically.
Yeah. And that's how most of the accidents that I've witnessed in L.A., and crazily, I've seen like so many little...
I witness a lot of accidents in Los Angeles.
I know.
Most of them are minor, obviously, thank God.
Yeah.
But it's fun to just see people get mad at stuff that when they did something wrong.
Yeah.
You know, this morning, the guy cut her off. He was trying to get to the exit. He cuts her off. She had to slam on her brakes and try to swerve out of his way, but she hit him in the back.
Yeah.
And then he was driving along. Like, he was like, I'm willing to forget about this. I cut you off and you're going to be in trouble
through gritted teeth was like, I'm going to be late for my yoga class, but I'm coming for you.
Yeah, I'm coming for you so I can be at fault for this because she rear-ended
him. That's crazy.
Dummy.
I would have been like, oh, we're good? We're good. I'll see you around later.
I'm like, if you're driving, I'm driving. Are we driving? Are we getting out of here? I'll forget about it if you're forgetting. I was just joking. We were in Topanga Canyon this week.
This past weekend.
To celebrate our 2-year anniversary of the day we met.
Yeah.
You told me not to get mushy.
Don't go. Yeah.
It's so hard.
I know. Just stop yourself. This is the 2-year anniversary of the day that the evening that Julian essentially harassed me on a stoop.
Don't put that out there because then people think that that's how you get it
Julian
done.
Julian kindly and non-threateningly.
Well, your friend invited me to have a seat.
Into talking to him.
She invited me to have a seat. We had a conversation about you while you sat there.
But we'll save that for another podcast. If you're interested in the very weird story of how we met.
Oh, that's weird. I call it a magical evening.
But anyway, Julian swept me off my feet this weekend and we went to Topanga
Canyon.
Canyon. Mm-hmm. I don't know why you keep throwing canyon.
Because Topanga's a town and it's not
okay,
in the canyon.
Okay, sorry. Topanga Canyon. Mm-hmm. And we stayed in an Airbnb.
Yeah. So we found this place called, the lady who runs it called it the Forest in the Woods. I'm not joking.
Which is...
I think it took me reading that about 6 times before I was like, wait, that's stupid.
Yeah, it is. But it's also not stupid because you walk in and there's literally forest wallpaper.
Well, you don't realize... Like Yeah, that it's literal.
There's like a forest, a wallpaper forest inside of this place that is in the forest.
Yeah, so...
It's like in the butthole of a mountain and you're surrounded by forest and then you walk in and there's forest wallpapered on the walls.
Yeah.
It's
it should
lot.
Be called the forest of it's, the butthole.
She's going really, really hard with the theme. And all of the doorways were arched.
I have
and
a little forest in
was...
my butthole. Shut
up. All the ceilings were arched, and the first thing that we set, we were like, this looks like a...
The doorways were
the doorways.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looked like a little hobbit fuckhole.
It did. It was so
it looked like
tiny
where,
and woodsy where, and romantic.
Where hobbits go to, like, I don't know.
Make hobbitses.
Yeah.
Because everything was, like... Slightly eastern. It was like elephant statues
and stuff. But it was like small. It felt like...
Lots of candles.
Yeah. It was definitely where, like, I don't know, forest sprites go.
You know what would have been so funny on that wallpaper? If we had put little glow-in-the-dark eyes all throughout the wallpaper so when you turn the lights off, it looks like animals are about to attack you in the woods.
That's fun.
Yeah, it would have been fun for the next group.
That would have been really
for the
fun.
Next group. Anyway, the power, we had a great time in Topanga Canyon. If you guys don't know, it's like this, it was like a hippie enclave in the 60s.
And now it's just where rich people live.
And now it's rich hippies that used to be hippies and now they're like.
It went from like hippies to like meth insanity in the woods to rich people are taking it back.
Like the hippies, you know those hippie friends that they stay with the hippie thing and then they get lost and you're like, wow, I don't know what happened to Brian.
Yeah.
The other hippie is the kind that gets their shit together and they become like a doctor or something like that.
Yeah.
And then they turn 60.
But they still have, dare I say, a soft spot for that hippie lifestyle.
They do.
So they try to go back and sort of recreate a safer version
of it. Yeah, once they make a couple of $1 million, they're like, I'm going to go back to where I had all that fun when I was 18.
And I'm going to open up a hobbit fuckhole.
Or a crystal shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we loved it there. I loved it.
Yeah.
I think you loved it.
I did.
And they have a great vintage store, Hidden Treasures, that focuses on Burning Man.
Yeah,
so.
There's a lot of Burning Man stuff, which is not my thing. Mm-hmm. But if it's yours, that's great.
That's fine.
I love a good costume, so yeah. I can appreciate all of that.
Excellent steampunk stuff. So if you're into steampunk,
yeah,
Hidden Treasures, Topanga Canyon.
They literally have bowls of the little...
Goggles.
Wheel thingies? The wheel thingies with the... What's the word?
The wheel thingies with what?
You know, the little... The gear things.
Oh, yeah.
They have bowls of them. And you could just buy
like, gears
like
that
little
go together.
Gear discs.
Yeah, and wear
and
them
I
as
was
necklaces
like,
or something.
Do you make like a chain... like a charm bracelet out of this? Or what's this for?
Well, but, they actually got those from an actual steampunk factory that went out of business. And then they... They took all the gears and sold them.
Oh, man.
So anyway, it was romantic. We had a great time. We went to the beach.
We did.
That was nice for a short time.
Responsibly consumed some THC gummies.
Uh-huh. And what else? Oh, the power went out.
The power went out.
The power went out the second night. We're on a mountain in the middle. It's pretty secluded.
In the middle of nowhere. You can't, it was just, it's scary. You're in like this little hobbit
hole moonlight.
And it's dark as fuck.
And then the power goes out and our...
And only so much wine can get you through that before you're actually scared and you're like...
Not only that, you're like, oh, we Airbnb'd this to go what? Sit in a dark room all night? So we just left early.
Yeah. So that's how that ended up.
But it was, but we had a nice drive home.
We did.
And, listen to some music and in the car.
We blasted Yaz.
Is that what we were doing?
Yeah. Driving down.
Yaz Queen.
Yaz.
Erasure. Yeah, Erasure. Yeah. Love Erasure. So it was a nice little trip.
It was a nice little trip.
And, if you have any experiences with Topanga Canyon that you would like to
share
with us, we want to hear about them.
What I want to know about is the craziest Airbnb experience you've
had. That's a better one.
Have you ever booked a place and thought, wow, this looks so fancy and whatever, and then you get there, and I still loved it, but I was like, wow, this is so literal. It's so literal.
It looked exactly like the pictures.
So I want to know your crazy Airbnb stories, or if you have a crazy host story, I want to know. So
absolutely.
Slide into the DMs and let me know.
We have an amazing guest today.
With an amazing name.
We do. He is a actor. He is a comedian. Mm-hmm. He is named Sam Pancake. That's his real name. And we get into that a little bit. He is another member of the cast of Golden Girls Live. I think we got them all now. No, we didn't get Sherry Devine yet.
Sherry Vine, sorry.
But he's fantastic. He plays Sophia.
Sophia.
And he's so, so funny. And he's adorable. And he was in a lot of commercials. And we're going to hear
about
it.
And you've definitely seen him playing a dad in a commercial.
In the 90s.
In the 90s.
So let's get to that interview because it's so fun. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Julia.
Thank you for being here, Sam.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
And that's the show. Thank you so much.
Good night and good luck.
That's our new podcast. Woo! Thank you for coming.
It's called Thank You for Coming, and that's it.
Let's get right to it. Who is Sam Pancake, first
Sam
of all?
Sam Pancake.
The man with the best name.
Well, next to your producer, Land Romo.
Yes, I know.
Also, I just said to listeners, I just said to Land, who I just learned when I met him with you guys the other night.
Yeah,
I didn't know exactly what you were saying.
Right.
It could be Land Romo or like Larry Momo. Like, I don't know. So yeah. Then when I got the email, I was like, what? And I said to him, people usually say to me, Sam Pancake, that's the best I know her, but I never get to say it to anyone else. I'm always like, I wish I could say the same. But to Land Romo, I can.
I know.
I know.
How does it feel to finally be a distant second?
Daunting. Daunting. Bewildering. Alienating. Good night.
You're probably so tired of telling people about your name, so we'll just move on. It's not a big deal to you.
It's my real name, and it's a German extraction, and it was von Kuchen in Germany. And
What'd you call me?
sexy motherfucker. And my ancestors moved to Virginia in the 1750s, 30s, 50s, and they were von Kuchen, right? Mayflower much?
Kind of.
So in the same county that I grew up in, it was Virginia, then Hampshire County, Virginia, that became West Virginia after the Civil War history. Mm-hmm. And they just slowly anglicized it to Pancake, which is English for von Kuchen. And way back in the day, it was just like Shoemaker or the Cooper. Or the other, you know,
yeah.
A smith, like, was just from blacksmith or whatever smith. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's the story.
Okay.
So, I grew up in a small town with lots of pancakes. It's still there,
with
a lot of them still
pancakes.
There.
I
know,
I love
yeah.
That.
There's still a lot of them there.
Trying so hard not to ask you questions that everyone's asked you a million times.
It's
do
totally
you love
fun.
Pancakes?
I went through a period where I really didn't. I like my father's. He died in January. Thanks for bringing it up.
I'm sorry.
No, it's
fine. I just asked you if you liked pancakes.
My father's dead. Speaking of pancakes, no, my father would make the best ones. We learned later because he secret ingredient. My sister found out after she turned vegetarian when she was like, Daddy, why are they so good? He's like, bacon grease.
Oh, yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah, but I'm really more of a waffle person. But thanks to my celiac disease diagnosis in May.
Oh, no.
Pancakes. I kind of got to be careful.
Oh, no.
So annoying.
I was just going to say, where was the best pancake of your life?
Do you know? Well, I'll tell you. Actually, this is before the diagnosis. Do you know Alonzo Duralde and Dave White, who are, they're film critics and they're a couple and they do this podcast, Linoleum Knife, and they're bears, I guess. I don't know. Who am I to? Anyway, Dave White, he's from Texas and he is known for having the best, his pancake recipe is amazing. Mm-hmm. And he does a gluten-free version. And I was on this live talk show with him once and he made the pancakes on stage for me and they were amazing.
Oh, wow.
So I think it's the best pancake I've ever had that wasn't like some jacked up, like, you know, fancy Dutch golden apple surprise cinnamon, you know, whirligig situation.
Yeah.
I'm simple. If it's got malt in it, I'm like, you win. God.
Yeah, 100%, Julian. And
yeah.
Now, guess what I can't have any more of?
Malt.
It's really sad.
Oh.
I know. And I love malteds. Anyway.
Well, I know two people in the world with celiac disease. Now I know two.
Okay.
You're the second one. The first one is Kyle Dunnigan. And
oh,
you're
really?
Both extremely funny.
No,
so.
And Anthony DeCimito.
Oh, who is also very
does
funny.
Too? Yeah.
Also, Dan Bukatinski, Emmy winner. Do you know Dan?
No.
From Scandal. You would know him if you saw him. He's in everything. And he's my celebrity celiac sister. We were just talking about the Ellen stand-up show at Largo last week. It's really hard.
You are an expert at taking a question that has nothing to do with something about something else and just bringing up something else completely.
My brain works that way. It's a curse.
Uh-huh.
And I'll always find a way to
celiac?
Drop a name. It must be. Maybe that's it. It's like the villi don't work in your intestines because you have an autoimmune disease and you can't tell a story in a straight line. Dear celiacs, I love you.
We most recently saw you at Golden Girls, which yes. I think our listeners are probably tired of hearing about at this point.
We're going to keep talking about it.
Please keep it alive.
It was so good.
Thank you.
We went the last time you guys did it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I did know
We've
that because Roz / Gio told me. I think mm-hmm. Drew told me.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit jealous. I'm like, they all know are pals with hot Jillian McCulloch.
Oh, stop.
And I'm not kidding. And I don't really know him that well. And I really want to know him. And they get to be on this fucking podcast.
Well, so. Here you are, but we can't go get pancakes. So I don't know what to do with you.
Sometimes there are gluten-free pancakes in the world some places.
Okay.
Yeah. So have I had them yet? No, but I'm told.
You did a very special episode this time.
We did.
Especially for, you play Estelle Getty, yes. Which is actually a real person. You play Sophia.
Yeah. But I think I'm basically Estelle Getty was a lot like that too. Because back in the 80s, I saw her do Torch Song Trilogy on Broadway with Harvey Fierstein when I was like in high school or college. Mm-hmm. And college, who am I kidding? And she was basically Sophia without the white wig and the glasses.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I think that's what Estelle did. But yeah, we do the episode, which here's what happened. We were already going to do the episode where Rose, played by Drew Drogi in our production, dates a little person, mm-hmm. played by our friend Selena Luna, who is a little person and amazing. She dates Dr. Jonathan Newman. So we wanted to bring that episode back. And so the next logical step was Jackie Beat and Sherry Vine, who play Dorothy and Blanche, who are kind of in charge of it, said, why don't we do the one with the little Girl Scout who steals the teddy bear from Rose? Done and done. Didn't watch the whole episode. Didn't realize the B story is Sophia makes friends with a man with Alzheimer's disease.
Yes.
Who it is the saddest Golden Girls ever.
It is.
And we were like, how do we make this funny? And I was like, Jackie, you fucked up. We cannot make this funny. And then we did.
You did. Make it very funny.
And the old man is played by my friend Danielle Gaither, who in the early 2000s I did Facts of Life with around town. When I played, we did the live stage version of that, and I played Blair, and she played Tootie. Mm-hmm. So cut to, like, 15 years later, here we are.
Oh.
Yeah, wow.
Playing Sophia and Alvin.
No, when I realized which episode you guys were doing, I was like, whoa, this is, like, a dark one. But you guys did...
You're like, I don't think they know.
You guys did such a good job of making it so funny. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Meg.
Yeah, I loved
it. Was interesting to experience the audience, like, because some people really die hard. They know every episode. Some mm-hmm. have them memorized. And you could kind of feel in the room like people knowing, oh, this is Alvin, and he eventually is going to like reveal that he can't remember anything. And other people are still trying to laugh at some of the things that, like, when he starts crying, I'm like, it's really not funny.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a weird balance to try to, you know, get through on stage, but ultimately it was good.
Yeah.
I remembered that episode and I was thinking, who's going to play Alvin's daughter? And Julian's crush.
Well, that was a little bit of a controversy. Not a controversy. We were just like, this works. Of course it can work, especially in colorblind casting now. And in the actual sitcom, it's played by, I think, the actress Janet McLaughlin is her name, mm-hmm. who was in lots of stuff. And she's African-American, like her father. But and the first night we did this show, because Drew was doing an episode of Teachers on TV Land, so mm-hmm. he couldn't be there. So Roz played Rose. And then our friend Pip Lilly, who was African-American, mm-hmm. played the daughter mm-hmm. brilliantly, and also the waiter in the little right. person episode. So that was perfect. But then, like, yeah, Roz, he's like, I'm not going to, you know, of course, do some sort of, like, I'm a black lady, like, stereotype thing, obviously. But it worked out okay, you know?
Yeah, it's so good that he wasn't like, ooh, honey, he got the Alzheimer's.
Oh, yeah, exactly, you know, or something like that. We're like,
I'm saying that nobody did that.
No,
like,
nobody did
that.
That
would be a terrible thing to do.
You just did it.
I didn't do it. I was doing it to show that we didn't do it.
Yeah, exactly. Just as a bad example. Example of what we did not do, true.
Right.
We would, of course, Danielle was like, I don't care, you know?
Right.
Yeah. You know, of course, if there's a minority situation, you turn to the minority and say, how do you feel? And they're like, she was like, who cares? It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, and it could be his daughter.
Right.
It could be his daughter.
Right. It's such a short part of that episode, but it was like one of the funniest parts seeing you two and seeing Jackie and I was gonna say Roz, Gio, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, he wants to be called Roz. I met him as Gio, and he's like my daughter's son, so I still say Gio sometimes.
Yeah.
Either one. But it's funny because
Julian knows which one to
fantasize
doodle
about.
On his notebook. Julian's got a crush.
I mean, it's no big deal, but he's Gio in my phone, but it's no big deal.
You're really in there.
So we need to get to your soft spot, which is...
back to school again.
See, if you did that for me, I would be like, I still don't know what you're talking about. It's Grease 2.
Yes. Grease 2.
It's hard for me.
Is this the opening number?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He is living for this.
I know.
I saw this movie in 1982 when it came out, where I won't reveal my age, but much younger in high school.
Than today?
High school. Believe it or not, I don't have a time machine. And first of all, Grease 2 came out when I was little. kind of little, and I loved it. So, I mean, I'm sorry, Grease. Did I say Grease?
You said Grease too.
No, see, Obsessed.
Yeah.
Grease came out in 1978. I remember going with my grandfather in Huntington, West Virginia, him taking us, and it blew my mind away. And of course, I thought those were high school age people.
I didn't know, right?
Stalker was 34.
So funny how old they are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
insane.
And it gets even funnier now that I'm even older than them. You
know? Because when you're older, you know exactly how old people are when you look at them. You know,
exactly.
And you're like, oh yeah, they're legit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, how was that even? And I get they were two huge stars, and Travolta was playing high school in Welcome Back, Kotter at the time.
Right.
So I guess kind of, but when it really starts reaching when it's like, God bless, Stalker Channing.
I know.
She's a woman. It's nothing bad. It's just like she is a woman, not a high school girl.
Right.
The name Stalker Channing was never a
and
young
the
person.
Who is the guy that plays Kinnicky? He was also.
Oh, yeah. He was on Taxi. Jeff Conaway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, exactly.
Also
a man.
Definitely a man.
All these people are on their second houses and, half of them are divorced and they're playing high school kids.
Completely.
Yeah.
So blew me away. I was obsessed with the soundtrack, just the sexiness of the guys, the dancing. Because remember, that was, you would go to something, you would see it on this big screen for the first time, and you would be blown away. And I, as this kid who wanted to be an actor, and I wanted to be able to sing and dance well, which I can do a little bit, but not like that. Mm-hmm. But just like that was a dream.
not a Grease level.
Not a Grease level. But I just like remember going home and doing the choreography in my bedroom and singing the album, and like you just can't, and things you don't see. There was obviously no DVD, and you have to wait years later. Maybe it would be on cable.
Oh, yeah.
But even, especially really big box office hits didn't go on cable. Wait, was there cable then? No.
No.
There wasn't even cable.
I think cable was like early 80s.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Mid-80s, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. But it was, but whatever. So then when Grease 2 came out, I remember like it was a summer during high school that I was the first summer. I'm like, I'm not going on the family vacation. It's always a nightmare. I can't stand my father, even though I know he's dead now. It's fine. But as I just mentioned, I'm very complete on it. Believe me. Believe me, because he was supposed to die in 2013.
So we don't need to.
And he didn't.
No,
yeah, exactly. We don't need to have a hand holding.
Okay.
It's no, yeah, really, believe me. But So then I remember, like, I had this summer, this week to myself, and I grew up in a big house in the country in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, a mile outside of the town. And
I mean, that sounds like nowhere to me.
Yeah. 32 acres.
Yeah.
And so I had the whole run of the place to myself.
Did you farm?
My father was kind of a gentleman farmer, where, like,
what does that mean?
Oh, this is, it's just, you own, oh my God, this is going to make me, who cares? This is just the truth.
Just go for it.
Go for it.
You own land, but you don't farm it yourself because you have people farm it for you.
Oh, God.
So you're just kind of like overseeing the land.
Baron Von Pancakes.
Okay.
we had a horse, and we would have like pigs for 4-H projects. And then we had the actual pancake farm 7 miles up the river, up the South Branch River, where my cousins farmed, and we own the land, still do.
And they, like, would farm pancakes?
They would have
pancake
bushes and trees.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, Pancake
image.
Farm sounds like an amazing kids
it
show.
It really does.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. So anyway, back to that week in '82 when that movie came out, and we had to drive 45 minutes to the mall to the closest mall to see it. And I think I even might have gone alone, which is weird. But I remember, like, I bagged groceries in a grocery store, and I thought, as soon as they're out of here, I'm gonna eat Captain Crunch for dinner and ice cream for breakfast. And I'm gonna go shopping with my bag boy money. And that's exactly what I did for a week. And
good
in that same week, I saw this. I could be conflating this in my memory. I'd have to check the release dates. But I remember seeing the movie Annie, or maybe it was 2 weeks, and then Grease 2 all in the same week. And this little musical theater queen was losing her mind.
Right.
But I remember seeing the musical and just like being, this music so much better than the original Grease. And I'm sorry, I will not apologize. In a lot of ways it is, because it's written for that movie. It's not like these 50 songs grafted onto which Grease was.
Right.
We were just in the car and she was playing, because I am confessing, but I'm happy to hear everything you have to say about it. I don't know Grease 2 at all.
Okay,
like, I know, I could recognize it when it's on
Julian doesn't
screen.
Really know any musical theater.
Well, that proves he's straight, ultimately.
It might be the straightest thing about me. But she started playing, I think it was Cool Rider. In the car?
Yeah, it was Cool Rider.
And
yeah.
I was
cool,
like,
cool, cool, cool Rider.
I was like, this is Pat Benatar. And I was like, I like this. I can get into this because it just sounds like Pat Benatar to me.
Mm-hmm. The songs are fun. That is the most Pat Benatar 80s sort of song.
I can't stand the Grease soundtrack.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And we just lost half our listeners, but do you like the Grease soundtrack?
You're allowed.
Everybody, I mean, no one's going to be shocked that's listening. They know you by now.
Okay, that's true.
Well, I feel like that soundtrack also was, when you were a kid, like I was, or young, I was in like junior high or whatever, as you guys, I'm sure you probably remember this too, there was only like two or three radio stations in town, maybe mm-hmm. none. They played the same thing over and over and over again. Yeah, like in our town, like it was coming in from Winchester, Virginia, whatever.
Yeah.
So you just heard the same songs in the 70s and 80s, and so it got pounded into your brain, so you kind of like were inculcated into it, whether you liked it or not. The Grease soundtrack was like that, but I love the song Grease.
That
was so exciting to me.
I don't know that one.
I still get it's the opening.
The opening song
of Grease.
They have a song called Grease.
Oh my God, who is he?
I don't know.
How did you miss that?
Here's something that I need both of you to.
We spend a lot of our spare time doing deep dives into the works of Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Okay.
I'm just trying to broaden his mind.
She has a couple of knee and foot injuries from doing a little dance number to some Andrew Lloyd Webber.
It's true.
Oh.
Anthony and I, after we saw Golden Girls, had a few drinks.
Yeah.
Had a girl.
And just really went for it.
Yeah.
What song were you dancing to from Andrew Lloyd Webber?
I think the dance you're referring to was when you put on Guns N' Roses.
You asked for it. You asked for Paradise City.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I love that.
Which she had a choreographed dance to in high school.
I did. I remember every
I think that's where you hurt yourself. But it started with musical theater.
Yeah.
Okay.
For 2 hours.
Here's what I would like for you guys to try to... I know you can't explain it. Try to explain to me fun, because I feel like I'm a fun person. I'm fun.
Okay.
I understand fun. I think I know what it feels like. But musical theater,
he doesn't get it.
I don't get it. So what is it?
It's weird. Your girlfriend Gio feels a little bit like that too.
Really?
There's some... He doesn't like when people break out in a song in musicals, and he especially doesn't like musicals. Like some of the same ones I don't like that are very falsettos, which is just people talking and then they're singing and there's not much of a melody.
Yeah.
I'm not talking anyway.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
Me neither. But Sondheim I'm not into a lot, most of Andrew Lloyd Webber, frankly.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a little bit too faux operatic for me. But sorry.
I love it.
Are we going to come to blows? But then again, it's just, you know, it's... I don't have to love all
of
it.
But I love Sondheim, too.
Yeah. So the fun of it is... No, I get why it's not fun for you. I totally get that it's your scratch or itch or whatever. I understand that.
I just can't suspend the disbelief. I'm the same way. When Grease 2 opens up with the opening number and the kids are all doing a choreographed dance outside of the high school and they're 40, I'm just like...
Can I just give you, because I talk a little bit about this in I keep referring to my one-man show, it's coming up. I don't know what I'm doing it again, so I'm not just promoting it, but I wrestled with all this stuff in a show about my life and career and being a gay actor and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I started out by saying, I was 2, and I went to see Mary Poppins, and I instantly in the theater, and my mother said they thought I would fall asleep, but I was fascinated by the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And even that at the time, I was I want to escape into that world where everyone's singing and dancing and having fun and everything. I didn't know the word for a choreograph, but everyone's dancing in unison and making this magic happen. I wanted life to be like that, which I realized later was a big part of my drug and alcohol problem, because I wanted to escape all the time.
I
thought you were
going
to say, because when you're high, everybody's singing and dancing.
That too. You're just until you're not, which is mostly you're not. But, you still think you're going to capture that moment.
Until you're Anne Hathaway in Les Mis.
Exactly. Getting your head shaved in a cave.
Yeah.
So the thing for me was I just like to escape into that world and the singing and dancing. And I grew up listening to all these show tune albums. And because West Virginia and the country, and I'm sorry, West Virginia, it was so boring to me.
Yeah.
There's lots of hunting and fishing and all these outdoorsy stuff. And we were a very athletic family, but I wasn't athletic, but we were constantly doing sports. Mm-hmm. And just doing all this country stuff. And I was this is boring.
Your childhood was just a mixture of being bored and hiding who you were.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Welcome. Well, how about the 24-hour vigilance of being found out that you could be this person who everyone wanted to kill?
Mm.
You know, literally, it was scary.
Brutal.
You know, yeah. 1970s West Virginia, rural, yeah, where the worst thing you could be was a queer or faggot or a woman. That was an insult on our playground. That's how misogynist and like,
wow.
And like homophobic it was. Like, you woman. Like, that was, cheers.
Well, I mean, it's probably not the same thing, but I was a Bears fan growing up in San Francisco. And I feel
no, it's
like
exactly
kind of,
the same thing.
That's kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't have to choose between skincare that's safe and skincare that works. True Botanicals creates luxurious botanical formulas that are as potent as they are pure.
Ooh.
I know.
That sounds good.
Their third-party clinical trials showed their Renew Collective outperformed Creme de la Mer.
What?
Yeah, that's crazy. That shit's way expensive. And their Clear Collection outperformed Proactive.
Get out.
And everything they make is verified non-toxic by Made Safe.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it is.
Toxic is bad.
Toxic is bad. Go to truebotanicals.com now to get free samples and receive $20 off orders of $40 or more off of your first purchase with code SOFTSPOT.
SOFTSPOT.
Most skincare products on the shelf involve some sort of trade-off.
Like what?
They're either loaded with harmful ingredients, but they work, like super toxic,
mm-hmm.
or they manage to have clean ingredients, but they do absolutely nothing for your skin.
I knew it.
I've dabbled in both, so I know this to be true. True Botanicals believes you shouldn't have to choose between skincare that's safe and skincare that's effective. You deserve both. Yes, you do. With the help of leading researchers from top universities, True Botanicals bottles the highest quality ingredients in nature, creating luxurious formulas that are as potent as they are pure.
Mm, that sounds like drugs.
I know. For your skin. Non-toxic drugs for your skin. Third-party clinical trials verify their product's efficacy. Their Renew Collection for Aging Skin outperformed Creme de la Mer.
That's amazing.
Which is crazy because it's that stuff's so expensive.
J-Lo uses Creme de la Mer.
She, for sure, she like bathes in that stuff. And their Clear Collection for Acne outperformed Proactive.
I could use that.
Proof that non-toxic skincare can not only be as effective as conventional skincare, but it can be better.
Look at that.
And True Botanicals is the first skincare company to have its entire line certified safe for people and the planet by the independent nonprofit Made Safe.
That sounds nice.
Yes. Welcome to Results Without Toxins. Go to truebotanicals.com now to get free samples and receive $20 off of orders of $40 or more off your first purchase with the code SOFTSPOT.
I know this much is truebotanicals.com.
SOFTSPOT.
She loves Starlight Express, which is
the
one
Starlight Express.
So you don't even like it, but you know it.
When I do that character Fritzy we were talking about, one of his stories is he was playing a middle-aged dining car in Starlight Express. On an early tour until I got fired by Sir Andrew Lloyd Monkeyface himself.
Let's stay on topic. What is the story? What is the plot of Grease 2?
Okay. So, in Grease 1, we have Sandy and Danny. They end up together at the end. Grease 2.
Mm-hmm.
We're back at Rydell High School, even though it's a completely different Rydell High in terms of the set than Grease 1.
The building is not the same building.
The building is not the same building.
They didn't even bother with this.
Well, both were shot all over L.A. at different high schools. John Marshall High in Los Feliz is the where the carnival and some of the lunchroom stuff is for Grease. Grease 2, I think that first one.
That's like right where.
Yeah.
I think Grease 2, that one is. So here's the thing, you guys. Me and my friend Robin Shore. Do you guys know Robin? She's a TV writer. She was not even at the same Golden Girls night you were. But anyway, she and I went to the 35th year reunion screening in March in Beverly Hills of Grease 2. So we've found out even more stories. But to answer your question, the plot starts, everyone's going back to school. There's new Pink Ladies. There's new Thunderbirds. And the Maxwell Caulfield character is the cousin of Sandy, played by Olivia Newton-John in Grease 1. We'll say Grease 1. And then there's Frenchie, played by Didi Khan, who's the only, except for she's like four, God bless, but like she's in her 30s, I would say, playing
right.
Someone who just graduated from
high
school.
She's just a lady with a high voice.
Yeah. Pink hairdo.
Yeah.
So she's like, there's a tiny little thing where at the beginning she's like, as being one of Sandy's friends, she's like back. She's taking a chemistry class because so she can complete her beauty school thing from the beauty school dropout thing. And so she comes and she introduces Maxwell Caulfield, who's English, and he's Sandy's cousin, even though Sandy's Australian, whatever.
Is he the one with the hair?
Yes.
Black or blonde? The blonde guy?
Yes. Yeah.
That's him? Okay.
And he's in real life married to
Julia. He's like an Army Hammer type, right?
Yes. Yeah. But sexier. And in my opinion.
Agreed.
I was waiting for that.
See, there you go. So anyway, he comes in. He sees Michelle Pfeiffer, who is Stephanie Zamuto. I might be saying that wrong. Sorry. Apologies. And he decides he wants to be with her, but he's not cool enough. And that's about it.
Wow.
That's it.
Have you
so
seen
it's the
it,
same
Matt?
Story?
I have, but okay. I hardly remember.
Yeah.
I really remember like musicals by the musical numbers. I mean, honestly, the stuff in between, unless I've seen it a couple times,
the book doesn't stick.
No, it doesn't. I mostly just remember the songs.
Yeah.
Like the other day was like, explain Starlight Express to me, and I was like, I can't, but I can sing you every single song.
Well, but I've never seen Starlight Express, but doesn't it not have a plot famously anyway?
Yeah, there's not really a whole lot.
It's just trains singing about their lives.
What would it be? I'm late.
Exactly.
I'm late. Yeah. I just made that up. Is that I'm Late by Starlight Express?
Maybe. That's like I'm Late from Alice in Wonderland.
I was going to say.
I was like, why is this coming so easily to me?
Oh. See? Nice
because
try,
because I'm not making it up. So they switch so in the first one, Olivia Newton-John's not cool, and she likes John Travolta. Now the guy is not cool, and Michelle Pfeiffer
exactly.
is cool.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And Michelle Pfeiffer's amazing. And here's a little funny sidebar from my life. When I first moved here, I worked in commercial casting, and it was we rented out. I worked at this facility. They rented out studios to casting people, and one of the casting directors we work with, his assistant was Lori Pfeiffer, who was Michelle's sister, and she was absolutely delightful, so beautiful, kind of being an actress. She ended up not doing that, and their sister Dee Dee Pfeiffer was also an actress, but Lori was so wonderful, and we were good friends, and she said at the time that in their family, because they're all from Orange County, she's like, in their family, when Michelle would act up, they would turn to her and go, grease to Michelle, grease to her.
She is, you know, you don't see her, I think later when she found who she was as an actress, she didn't do stuff like Grease 2, obviously.
No.
But like seeing her be big like that was so funny to me.
Yeah, because apparently I just reread a bunch on IMDb to prep for this. And I didn't know, because in my mind, it was such a big hit. And I didn't understand box office hits back then, that it was a huge flop.
Oh, really?
And they were planning like 2 more sequels in a series, and that ended it.
Right.
Oh, wow.
And that's one of the reasons that Maxwell Caulfield said it killed his career for like 10 years.
Wow.
But Pfeiffer, and again, she's incredibly beautiful and talented, and that helps, but nothing's certain in Hollywood. But she, next up for her was Scarface, which it came out right after. I think that's what brought her back up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because it was such a huge hit.
And so different from what
exactly
she was doing in that movie.
But I remember seeing her like in the late 70s in some, after Animal House came out, which was a very formative movie for me too, which was also like 78, which was Grease, I think. There was all these Animal House TV series after that, and she was in one of those. There was like Delta House and some other ones. Yeah. So I remember her from that. But then she, I wish we saw more of her lately, but
she, I love that. One thing is, what's weird is I should love Grease because I love I love that 50s nostalgia stuff.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean? It's just, I can't.
Like, decorating our place right now, he keeps pointing at, like, diner things, and I'm like, no.
Is he Guy Fieri?
No.
Exactly.
What? That is not. No. Guy Fieri's like 90s diners.
Yeah, that's true.
He's like a early 2000s. He's like if Smash Mouth opened a diner.
Exactly, yeah. But I don't know, maybe he doesn't have that whole aesthetic. Because when I remember I first moved here, I worked at Johnny Rockets Westwood, which was like the beginning of that whole like 50s diner craze.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you wear a skirt and roller skate?
I wish. That was like at the
Wait,
other
did you have to
DeBevics.
Do the singing numbers?
We had to sing along to things.
Right. That's
but
what like, I mean.
But it wasn't as elaborate as at DeBevics, which was on La Cienega. There was one in, everyone played a character, a sassy 50s character.
Oh my God. Is it still open? It.
No, dude, it closed years ago.
Oh, I wonder why.
No, it was really popular for really long.
That's
exactly.
Why. Yeah, I would have like, spent all our money there.
Tons of my actor friends who I'm still friends with worked at DeBevics in the early to mid 90s.
Because have you ever been to Johnny Rockets when they had to sing?
No, I've been there, but I've never experienced.
I think they don't
phased
do it, anymore.
It out.
They did,
but there was a time when they had like there were like three songs on the jukebox that if they started, they'd have to stop serving, yeah. Get up on the counters,
yeah.
Standing. Yeah. And do a choreographed
lip sync. Do you love me? Do you love me? Too?
Yeah. Oh my God.
And really Please, Mr. Postman was one of them.
Yes.
And I can't remember the other one.
I worked in the second Johnny Rockets ever. The first one's at Melrose and Gardner. It was the center of the universe in the late 80s when I moved here. And I got to work at the second one in Westwood, which isn't a Starbucks now. But it was the. We thought we would make as good money as they did on Melrose, and we didn't.
Mm.
But I did see a man get stabbed at the riot after the Eddie Murphy Raw premiere in 88.
That's a something. Story.
That's like tips.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like tips. It was life tips.
Yeah, exactly.
It was survival tips. Yeah, he fell in the door. Someone stabbed him in the stomach, and then my manager put his hand over the wound until the police came. It was crazy.
Oh,
I was like, you know, starry-eyed.
And then he went back to flipping burgers.
Yeah, he did. Didn't even wash his hands.
It was a different time.
It was a different time on the prairie.
You moved...
All over the place.
You moved to L.A. in the late 80s, which is like one of my dream aesthetics. I love that. Like, did you drive a Ferrari?
Yes, immediately. If by Ferrari you mean this Chevy Citation I drove across country that still said Pancake Chevrolet on the back. Because, yeah, the Pancakes own the Chevrolet dealership.
Crazy. I love that.
Oh, man. And sounds like there was a whole stack of pancakes over there. Oh, come on.
Land, I have to go.
No, they sound wonderful, but I'm just buttering you up.
Mm. Oh, my God.
Wow.
I know.
See,
it's
McCullough
so sweet.
Is
it's
not
like
a name
syrupy.
You can...
No.
You can't do anything about it. Or Malloy.
I know. You can't
know.
Really.
You Irish kids.
Yeah.
I know.
I make fun of him all the time for non-name related stuff, though. So
yeah.
It's fine.
He's so adorable.
I'm getting attacked all day long.
Okay, fair enough. Good. You deserve it.
It keeps me grounded. It keeps
sure.
me humble.
Good.
It keeps me questioning myself. So, thank
nice.
You.
Nice.
We never worked... You never worked in... The service industry, right?
No, I was always retail.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That seems like so boring.
It is so boring.
Yeah.
It is pretty bad. I don't have any very exciting
the
stories.
The thing about the waiter
no
stuff.
No one got stabbed in the stomach.
No,
on the way.
Except that bleeding lady story that was,
oh,
we talked about.
Oh, we already
about
told
Brooks,
about it. Yeah, we
don't Brooks's podcast. Yeah.
Mm.
Victoria's Secret,
blood everywhere,
a very bloodied fitting room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How much blood
if you're listening at home, Sam did a vagina motion with his hands, and you are correct.
I did a flow. I did a maxi flow hand.
Which,
jive.
If you are going to be bleeding that much, you want it to be from that area because
yeah,
that's
exactly.
kind of. It seems like their bodies can handle that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's fine. Eyes.
We're
would
kind
be
of
bad.
Primed for that, but like an eye or a stab wound.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a
or
little.
Did
less
you push
bile.
Your hand on it? Until the paramedics
I,
got there.
I put my hand right on her diner.
Oh,
and waited
wow.
until the paramedics came.
Oh, that's a good VS employee. Victoria
it
Secret.
Is, right?
Victoria's Secret and Vagina Survival. Welcome to VS.
Do you still watch Grease 2 when you are, if it comes on, will you
sit
and watch it every time?
Absolutely. I'll be just through the reproduction number or just to A Girl for All Seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the numbers I don't like the one DiMucci and what's and Sharon do in the Underground Bunker. I don't like that one. Just Do It for America. Blah.
Oh, you don't like that one?
Mm.
We were just talking to Karen Kilgariff, friend of the show, and she brought that one up as she loved it, right?
Yeah. She was like, they were talking about SEX.
Did like, she say that on the podcast?
No.
Oh,
we
no.
were just at her house before we came
oh,
here.
Oh, today? Oh,
yeah. We're all friends with her in real life.
I'm friends with her too, but I haven't been to her house in a long time. Feeling competitive.
Oh, that's weird. She's having so many parties these days. It's weird that you don't get invited.
Funny.
No, that's
right. Oh, I totally do. It's just like I can't go. I'm too busy with all my even more famous friends.
You mentioned before we started recording that you were in a bunch of commercials in the Win in the 80s or 90s?
90s. Not that old, yeah.
Any famous commercials that we all remember, like Folgers or anything like that?
I keep referring to this just because I did.
Because part of the Golden Girls show is
the commercials.
The commercials were so good.
They were the best ones.
How
this
about
time.
That peanut butter AIDS? I mean,
I know.
You need to describe what that is because I feel like.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen,
Oh, right, peanut butter AIDS.
So back in the 70s, there was this diet candy that I remember that was like this fudge type thing. Each chunk of it, each square, was wrapped in like wax paper, and it came like a box, like a candy box, and it was called AIDS, AYDS. And I remember the taste of it so vividly because it seems like everyone's Aunt Barbara or Grandma had a box of it on top of the fridge,
whether
they were participating or not.
Unbelievable.
So it was supposed to be an appetite suppressant, as it says in that commercial. So we played. And so, of course, in the early 80s when GRID, first the gay cancer became GRID, gay-related something.
Immunodeficiency. There you go.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Gay-related immunodeficiency. And then it became autoimmune AIDS. That candy went away. Mm-hmm. So
right.
We had this ad for it in the late, because that would have been early 80s, which is kind of a cheat because we used to do Golden Girls commercials era, which is 85 to 92. And so anyway, we have a commercial during the Golden Girls where there's a thing about like, I lost weight on the AIDS plan. Like,
it's how you lose weight and keep it off. AIDS.
Yeah. And completely. And then like, and at the end, the last tagline is, try peanut butter AIDS. Which I don't remember peanut butter AIDS.
I mean, the only thing worse than regular AIDS is getting it stuck in your teeth. Gotta be.
I definitely remember the taste of it. I guess it had some kind of speed in it. What else would it do?
Yeah, it had to, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's how dieting worked back then, right?
Yeah, it was like Fen-Phen. Like,
that was way before Fen-Phen.
What a time to be fit.
What a time to be alive. Mm-hmm. And then I'm so the commercials I've been in, back to me. God, I'm good at that. I'm good at that. Circling back to a pancake. I was in a bunch in the 90s, and I played my commercial reel just from like 93 to 97 when I did my last one-man show. I was in a bunch of them. Yeah. I was the Florida orange juice daddy for over 2 years, and I made that's why I was able to quit my job.
Orange juice daddy.
Orange
I
juice
love
daddy.
That.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'm driving an SUV, and my daughter's in the back, and she's a baby, and then I say, drink your juice, honey, and the sippy cup, and then she pulls a gallon jug by movie magic out of the thing and chugs the entire jug and then throws it out the window. It goes into a trash can. She like aces the.
Oh my
she,
God.
Like, nets it into the trash can.
This is my kind of humor. I love that.
And then I wasn't like, I only remember.
I'm sitting at home going, where'd that gallon come from?
She pulled it out, and like, I remember it was like rigged up, and it was a 2 day shoot, and they were twins, of course.
I can't suspend my belief for a dance number, but if somebody pulls a gallon.
A infant?
Yeah.
Hoists a gallon
tiny
of OJ.
A baby pulls a gallon of orange juice, and that gets me every time, right?
Well, you know, if you point out every time my brain isn't fair, that's we're not going to get anywhere.
So, yeah, I did a lot of those in the 90s.
I'm going to get a tattoo that says Orange Juice Daddy.
Me too. Oh, my God.
Just don't say OJ Daddy, because that's a whole different thing.
Next commercial.
Exactly. We're like Elizabeth Montgomery and O.J. Simpson in A Killing Affair. That gets a scream, too.
Oh, yeah. That was great. Oh, right. Yeah.
Everyone was freaking out. Every commercial was better than the last.
It was a real good.
So good.
Jackie and our tech person, J2, kind of curate all those. And, yeah, they do a really good job.
Hey guys, we want to tell you about another very exciting new podcast, Ethnically Ambiguous. It's a podcast about the immigrant minority experience, but like, they make it fun.
Your hosts, Iranian American Anna and Syrian American Shireen, walk you through being a modern Middle Easterner in today's climate.
That can't be easy.
It can't. They discuss growing up with immigrant parents and also tell you stories from history that will help you make sense of all the news coming out of the Middle East.
It comes out every Monday, which will make your Mondays better and also make you sound really smart probably at work.
Some of the topics covered are discovering sexuality within immigrant families, being raised as an outsider, stereotypes about Middle Easterners that may or may not be true, interviews with other minorities in the entertainment industry, representation in television and film, and historical reporting on the Middle East and more.
Ethnically Ambiguous. It's produced by How Stuff Works, and you can listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Check it out. Did you ever, I just told her the other day that I have the Folgers theme song in my head every day since 1988. Every day in my head at some point. The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. Were you ever in that?
No, I never did coffee. I've done beer and ginger ale.
What was your beer?
I don't remember. It was Miller, because I only remember this because I was driving a Miller Genuine draft truck in the high desert, and it was a long shoot, and then it didn't run, and it might have been, I forget what it was. It was Miller, though.
Okay.
I only remember that because I was going through some old photo albums from the 90s recently, because I used to have pictures of everything. I kept it all. When I was on meth, sometimes I would like make all these photo albums, and I'm glad I did now.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Silver linings.
Yeah,
thank you.
Here's the thing, and this is me being so like narcissistic, because I showed it this last show. Between like talking about my career, and I was like, people were like, your reel was great, and I realized, I'm like, that's just my reel from like 93 to 97.
Yeah.
I did dozens and dozens.
Wow.
And dozens. That's why how I got to stop working until I had to go back to work after the commercial strike. But anyway, yeah, I can send you, I guess. I'm so people,
if you have a compilation,
that'd
be great.
I have this,
or just one great commercial.
I'll send you what I have.
Okay.
It's on a flash drive. I'll try to make that happen. I'm not great at that shit.
Neither am I.
Yeah, but you're a millennial. You're supposed to be.
I know I'm supposed to be, but I'm so not.
Fair enough.
So
I'm proud
not
of you.
Like that.
I'm proud of you.
I write everything down still.
Me too. Calendar.
I don't, yeah.
Good for you.
I'm just not into.
Pen to paper is healthier for your brain.
It is. It keeps you sharp.
Yeah. Makes it stick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hi. Yeah. I did a lot of commercials. I just had a commercial. I mean, I still do commercials when they, it's just harder now because so many of them are non-union. But I was a dad in a Honda commercial with three kids. And weird twist bringing it all together. I shot it in December of like 16, I guess. And my wife in the commercial was Sandra Hess, who was also the co-worker with Lori Pfeiffer in the late 80s at the casting facility I worked at.
Oh,
and Sandra's been in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her husband's on all these shows too. She still works as an actor, and she's been in the game since. She looks exactly the same, gorgeous. It just was a weird like thing.
What's your dad voice when you have to do commercials?
It goes down here more. And it's just like, it's deeper, and I try to mind my sibilant S, because it still pops up because of the way my mouth is shaped. Because I work on that all the time. I hear myself, and I'm like, no wonder I get these gay roles. I'm like this. But I do this thing. I comment on it when I show the commercial reel. Where like, I had this thing for, oh, sorry. I hit the little screeny. Where I like thought, I was kind of mocking another friend of mine who happened to be gay, but he was like, he booked all the time, and he was just like playing dudes. And I had this thing where I was like, straight guys, I'm going to get up and do it.
Okay.
Straight guys walk like this. and this one Kelly Springfield tire commercial
I'll show you. I want to get a video of your straight
and
walk.
And this Kelly tire commercial, I'm like playing this like delivery guy who's all over town, so I count on my tires to get me here and there. And I'm just like, and there's a voice over me, and literally I'm watching myself in the commercial, like I'm pleading with a meter maid not to ticket me, or I'm like delivering flowers, and I'm just like, hey, what's like this. And then my friend was like, you're doing Valley of the Planet of the Apes walk. So I'm like, I guess straight guys walk like this.
Yeah, like primates.
And my face would always get more like, what's going on? Like, because my eyes.
So we're dumb. We're kind of dumb.
You're dumb. You don't quite get it. You're good, but you're not. You're just kind of clueless.
Yeah.
And I was always.
Julian has like a serious jock walk. Like,
oh,
his
hot.
His arms are out.
It's really because I'm stiff and I can't.
Oh.
I have like no flexibility. So I walk
oh,
like.
Oh, interesting.
I'm, yeah, it's not.
You can't do arms in opposition. You're like
no
arms
way.
In position.
Yeah.
That's funny. No, I've spent most, and I finally let it go. And thank God for like you know, no more femme shaming and hooray for gays and how far we've come. But I spent most of my life trying to not talk the way I naturally talked, mm-hmm. not move the way I naturally moved, not like the things I naturally liked. Just like, and finally I fucking gave up, yeah. you know. And I don't just mean, I want to make a note of this. I don't just mean when I was young and in the closet. I mean in the 90s and thousands where, like, if you wanted to get laid even as a gay guy, just, like, being masked and bro and cool and, like, hey, dude, suck my dick. You know, like, these people.
or whatever.
And I lived with these guys who were just, like, these, happened to be gay, but they were so fucking butch and just, like, dude. And we would, I was just like, I want to be like that. I can't be like this one with the hands above shoulders. I'll never find love. It just was so fucked up. I've been in a lot of therapy. I'm much better now. Plus, the young boys don't care anymore. They're like, they don't care if you're like, like Nelly. I don't know. Point. Like Gio, like he's a drag queen and he gets laid all the time and whatever.
Oh, yeah. He,
Julian's like, who? By who?
Yeah. He's always complaining that he's lonely online, so I don't get it. I mean, who are these people?
Yeah. Don't believe that bullshit. These thirst traps. Single AF.
Yeah, whatever. Well, I'm not going to get it.
I was spoofed in the other day because I was like on an IG story and I was like SFA going like to Gio, who was as a boy, Roz, as a boy. I was like, dude, bro, what's up? Can you believe this guy? Single AF, just like over here. It's funnier when I'm dressed as 85-year-old Sophia, you know, Petrillo. Anyway. We didn't talk much about Grease, too.
I know.
But here's the one thing I can say. Because my friend Pam Adlon, who was then Pam Siegel, who is in it, who's now Better Things, she's in it. And when I first met her, all I wanted to do was talk about Grease, too. But Pam does not like to talk about her acting jobs as a kid because she's also on Facts of Life. And I found out very little. But when I went to the screening in March, Liz and Jean Segal, who play the twins, they were both there. And I used to know them in Casting Days, and they're Katie Segal's little sisters. Mm-hmm. And they were... were both like, I didn't know if they remember me, and they were both like, Sam Pancake, oh my god, we haven't seen you forever. And I almost burst into tears. Aww. It was very satisfying. Aww. And all those guys are also friends. And Lorna Luft, who plays Paulette, who she had just had a stroke, she's fine now, but she had just had a stroke, and they were all in touch. Like, Adrian's med, and all of them had just talked to her, and like, she's gonna be okay. And they talked to her husband, I guess at that point she was in the hospital, but they're also really close. And here's the other thing. That movie is directed by a woman, Patricia Birch, who choreographed Grease, and she had so many great stories about being a director who happens to be female, and which are very few of, and she's still such a tough, salty old broad.
Yeah.
And the girl who plays, her daughter Allison Price plays, I can't believe I'm blanking on the name, not Maureen Teefee, but the other one with the glasses, that's her daughter, who she cast in the movie. And I mean, they did this in front of the entire audience, so I guess it's okay if I say this. They were still butting heads, and they're probably in their, you know, 50s and 80s, and they were still butting heads.
I love on the stage. Thought of holding a grudge for like my whole life.
Well, I mean, with your parents, isn't it? Job.
Yeah.
There was just a few things they brought up that they were kind of like, and you could tell Pat Birch was like, I'm this probably a tough mom to have, maybe, you know, but you got to be. So. It was pretty great.
What's the takeaway of Grease 2? Like, when you walk out, are you feeling like you believe in love? Are you feeling like,
well, it's like
you can shimmy shake really well?
Shimmy shake and do the pony and like the versions of the hand jive.
Which
really
one's
well.
The pony?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I know that one. I didn't know that was called the pony. Yeah. I thought that was the grease.
A step touch. Step touch step. It was the thing of it. I don't like the ending song as much in Grease 2 as We Go Together in Grease 1. The Grease 2 is similar. It's like together forever, and it's kind of boring.
Oh, I know that one. Yeah,
it's not as great, but. And they were supposed to fly off on... I read in the IMDb trivia, they were supposed to fly off on the motorcycle at the end, just like Olivia and John Travolta did at the end of Grease in the car. But they didn't work that out. But it's like, I don't know. The sexiness to me... The other interesting thing is like so many... Not so many, but some of the guys like Peter Frechette, who plays DiMucci, and then Leaf Green, they were both gay guys. And I remember learning that early on. I'm like, oh my God, those guys are gay.
Yeah.
Because that's when you're gay, your ears are always like pricked up for like, who else is gay?
Right.
So there was that. But like, I just remember having such a crush on Adrian Samet and Maxwell Caulfield. And I don't know, I just really liked the music. I love the opening number is my favorite number, the back to school number.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
When you, so you were young when you saw it, but you already knew you were gay, obviously.
I knew, I've known I was gay when I was like four.
But when Michelle Pfeiffer showed up, you were maybe.
Oh, no, absolutely.
I have a shot at this.
Well, that's when you know you're definitely gay.
Like, yeah,
you're
if Michelle Pfeiffer doesn't turn you.
Especially.
Yeah,
because with her always, I was like just so unbelievably beautiful.
Yeah.
And like the rest of the world feels. Like, I was not alone in that. Like, it's pretty obvious.
I don't know about you guys, but I think she's really pretty.
Yeah. I know. Oh, I'm real special and unique. But no, there have been girls throughout my life, including our friend Karen Kilgariff.
Oh.
And I've told her this. Here, I always say, like, if I, like they need to hear this, but my friend Leslie Grossman, who's an actress, who is on American Horror Story now and in tons of things, who I love, and Karen Kilgariff are the two women who I've always been like, if I were straight, I would marry them. Like, aww. I get nervous around them still.
We were just talking about how hot Karen is in the car.
Oh my
I was
God.
Like, she has this, like, regal thing about
thing,
her.
But also the swagger.
She, like, knows who she is.
Yes. And just, like, even on My Favorite Murder, it's, like, so fast. And the way her mind works, and her singing, and her guitar playing, and her stand-up, and her writing.
And her,
like,
dreamy eyes.
Her eye. Don't even get me started.
Good luck lying to those. That's
can
impossible.
You imagine. So I, Karen's my all. And this is like, and then I have my girlfriends, Lauren or Nina, who I'm much, much closer to than I am to those girls, women. But like, that's like sisters. I don't feel like, but there's a couple women.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So
I thought.
I'm sure there's some men in your life, Julian, who you would be like,
I don't know. We might talk about it all the time on the show.
I need to listen. More often. But, you know, Karen's someone like, no, not just, I would marry you. I want to be around. And Leslie is the same way. And Leslie's married to a guy. Anyway, so.
Well, I guess we're out of time, but if you want to sing a whole.
Reproduction.
A whole song.
Reproduction.
Which one could I know?
Is that song about sex?
No,
reproduction?
No, it's just about factory work. It's about assembly line art.
Well, why are we still talking? Let's listen to that fun song.
Exactly. Connie Stevens and Tab Hunter, who are the teachers teaching the kids about the way the birds and the bees work.
I do remember that one.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Snaps all mine.
Yeah.
Recently deceased Tab Hunter. Rest in peace.
Are you going to bum us out with every part of it? Okay.
If not, then a bee or any other nectar gathering.
Also, not a singer.
Yeah, like.
He would be the first to admit.
This sounds like me. Nectar gathering. I could have been in Greece too.
You could have.
I was a varsity bowler
Look
in
at
high
that
school.
Hair, of course.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
did.
I know. Perfect.
Yeah, she does it.
I do.
She does
I'm
it.
A hairstylist.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
nice.
She's been
Is
silently judging your
it?
Hair this whole time.
Is that all we get of it?
Oh, you so can keep going, but we have to talk.
The chorus is the fun part.
Okay, let's get to the chorus. And then, don't bore us, get to the chorus.
See, that sounds like right from a musical.
It's the Roxette Greatest Hits.
Yeah.
What song?
No, it's the name of their
it's
greatest
the name
hits.
Of their
don't bore us, get to the chorus.
That's
Roxette
brilliant.
Rules.
How do I not know that? I'm not a mad at Roxette.
Right.
You should have a daughter and name her Roxette.
I love it. Yeah, well,
here we go.
Reproduction. You should have a daughter named Roxette. Reproduction.
See?
You know what's... You are a good shimmy, and your jazz hands are top-notch jazz hands.
You have to come see me play Fritzy, where I do all this dancing.
That's such a good metaphor for... like male and female approach to sex, because the dudes are going reproduction, and the girl's like, and the dudes are just jackhammering away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sam, you're so fun. We could stay
you're so
all day,
fine.
And
we could. We have to go do a show.
We have to
again.
We have to pick up a child.
We do.
We have to pick up
nice.
A child. Yeah, it's not a child we know. We
just randomly
we saw on Craigslist
in your van.
Yeah,
great free candy.
She just needed a ride, so
we're just gonna see what happens. Well, that was so fun. Thank you so much for doing it.
Thank you for having me.
And is there anything other than Golden Girls that you have coming up that you want to talk about? And if not, I'm so sorry, and we'll edit this out.
When does this come out?
Next week.
So, Roz, your girlfriend Roz, and
oh,
I
God.
Are doing...
We're just talking.
texting. We're doing our comedy game show, The Once Over, on September.
Oh, right.
Which
I did.
You were wonderful.
Yeah.
So we're doing that again on, and Karen's done it too.
Yeah.
We're doing it on Saturday, September 9th at 9 o'clock at the Hollywood Improv Lab.
Okay.
And then Drew Droege and I are doing a new two-man show together at the end of September.
Is it called Pancake Farm?
Is it called Orange Juice Daddy?
Drew has to be in there somehow. Those are my hands.
Oh, that's right.
At this point, it's going to be called, I think it's okay if I say this, but right now the title we have is called We Are Special Bitches.
Oh.
Which is, someone came out, after Golden Girls, our friend, Joe Tower, because I came out and Drew was standing there and I put my arm around him and Joe looked at us and said, you guys are special bitches. Aww. And I'm like, and we were already trying to find a title for our new show, so I think that might be what it is.
You don't have a show yet?
We have the show. We know what it's going to be.
Oh, okay.
We know what it's going to be. We just have to put it together. It's a structured improv.
Where are you going to do that?
At Casino del Campo.
Oh, we'll be there.
Yes, that's if it all works. And other things are in the works, so if it like works out scheduling wise in terms of us being able to do that together.
Right.
I'm trying to do more stand up, so I'm going to be bothering you to like get me up there because I realize I enjoy it. And your friend Roz Gio is always like, "Do you see the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel? You ever see that show?" Slowly, it's turning into I'm Midge Maisel and he's Susie. He's just been like, "You got to get up there and you got to do it and you got to get your name out there and you can do it and you're very funny. You just have to." So I'm like, we've taken on those roles.
Yeah.
And then
you're just like a little bit too much.
And it seems real rehearsed, coming up. No. Oops. She is a lot. I like that show.
You're in a friendly room for that.
Opinion. No,
no. Don't worry about it.
But those bosses are my old bosses.
Okay.
Hooray for everybody.
Yay.
That's my tagline.
Everybody's good at everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And we love them all.
Thank you so much for listening. I don't even know what we're supposed to say anymore about like...
Give your handles for... Oh, no. I have to give my...
Oh, yeah. What's your stuff?
My new podcast.
Oh, there you go.
Which maybe you can do some of... It's called Sam Pancake Presents the Monday Afternoon Movie. You can find it everywhere podcasts are. And it's me and a friend, including Roz and Drew and other people, sitting down watching not during the podcast, but before the podcast, we have watched a 1970s made-for-TV horror/supernatural movie with a female lead that I was obsessed with as a kid, but never got to finish. Because my mother would send me to bed. Didn't see them all till years later, the ending on YouTube. So we watch it and then we talk about it. And they're so good, bad, brilliant, campy.
Love that.
So please listen to it. There's only 8 episodes until we do the new season. So.
Okay. We will definitely be watching that. You guys are such special bitches.
We're such special bitches.
You are.
Thanks for listening. And we will... I'm Julia McCullough.
I'm Meg Malloy.
And that was Sam Pancake.
Oh, and I'm the Sam Pancake on Instagram. Please follow me.
Oh, sure.
And I'm Jay Sam Pancake on Twitter because somebody took my name before I got there.
Who took that name?
Okay,
probably a family member.
No. It's an aspect of Thai culture. The name Pancake is really big, and there are a lot of young Thai kids that have Pancake in their name on Twitter and on social media. That's been my experience.
Okay. How'd you find these Thai kids, Sam? On the internet.
You showed me, Julian. Snap.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Soft spot. It's a good show.